You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Todd Atkins, and I'm here with Daniel M.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Daniel. Hello.
All right. Well,
that's my thing on the 5LQ. That's your thing?
All
right.
The
5LQ.
Cool.
Yep.
Hey, secretly, we just hit over 1 million downloads.
What? That is awesome. We need to have some sort of celebration music on right now.
We do. To celebrate, we are going back to some of our foundational episodes this week for 1 week only. Mm. It's Pipeline Week!
Pipeline Week!
Revisited. I feel like we need pyrotechnics and smoke right now.
Yes.
But that probably would fill the 6x6 box that we're in recording this with lots of bad things.
I don't really appreciate how I can feel you breathing on me, but...
That's gross. You just went there, man. I can't believe you did that. People don't need to know that.
No, they don't need to know that. Breathe but they do need to know about Pipeline Week.
Breathe on me.
No,
Holy
man.
Holy Spirit. You don't like
Are we
hymns?
Doing this? Are we doing this? Because we hit hymns? Over 1 million downloads, I was going to sing, the champion. No?
No, shouldn't do that.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so Pipeline Week. The reason why we're going back to Pipeline Week is, number one, we have the conference this fall, and people are kind of confused on what Pipeline is. So we always want to go back and say, okay, what is Pipeline? It's the foundation of everything that we do. It's not a program. It's not a couple of training sessions. It is a full philosophy and framework. So this week, we will be unpacking Pipeline.
Yeah, what's beautiful about that is with our conference this October in Nashville, it's Pipeline, succession at every level.
At every level.
At every level. So yes, we are talking about the senior leader level succession, but we are also talking about succession at every level, and the foundation of it all is Pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, the real question is when you think of succession, most people think of at the senior level, but what happens is transition happens every single week in our churches at the volunteer and leader level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can have a great program in place, a great process in place, systems, everything, and we're still going to have turnover because that's life. And so the question is, are you reproducing leaders? Or do you just have to settle for replacing leaders when that happens?
Exactly. So this week, every day, we're going to be releasing an episode all about Pipeline. Today, it's going to be Eric Geiger, Todd, and Barnabas talking about the basics and the foundations of Pipeline. Questions are going to be, what is a pipeline? Why is it important? Where should organizations start using it? And the podcast is really going to get into a lot of that. So as you listen, if you go to myleadershippipeline.com, you can actually use the promo code 5LQ25. Right, so that promo code 5LQ25 gets you 25% off the conference for the entire month of September.
That's coaching as well. So Pipeline coaching is last year we sold out of coaching actually before even selling out of the conference. And that's a 1 day deep dive into all these elements, systems, structure, the whole nine of Pipeline. So without further ado, let's move forward. Do you like that? You're Canadian.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, go. Just please start the podcast.
Okay.
So our first question is this. Very frankly, what is a leadership pipeline?
I think you hear the phrase leadership pipeline used a lot, and there's a lot of people that use it in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you go back to at least the most recent book that a lot of people would pull this from, or at least the phrase from, is Leadership Pipeline by Ram Charan, Stephen Drotter, and James Noel. I mean, anytime it takes, you know, three dudes to write a book, you know there's a lot of content.
All with those overrated PhDs, I'm sure.
Wow. Oh, yeah. But they have, I mean, you know, it's based on 30 years of consulting work with Fortune 500 companies. So, you know, if you're a fan of Jack Welch, if you're a fan of Noel Tichy, if you're a fan of all these other, you know, leadership gurus.
Or Todd Atkins. I'm a fan of Todd Atkins.
Or Todd Atkins or Eric Geiger. There you go. But a lot of these people, you know, a lot of times we'll say back to the sources from a theology perspective, and we need to go back to the sources from a leadership perspective quite often, because there's so many, leadership has become such a popular subject that there are a lot of people that that are proponents of different things. And it's really important to go back and look at the original research. It's really important to go back and look at the original ideas, because they morph over time. So Leadership Pipeline, when we talk about Leadership Pipeline, what we're really saying is it is, when we look at our Leadership Pipeline at Lifeway, it's built around common leadership passages that all leaders go through. So it
helps us.
When you say
passages, just to be clear, that's not passages you read, that's passages you walk down. So
yeah,
like
it says
pathways.
Passages you walk down. When you move from managing yourself to managing others, in other words, being an individual contributor to being over a team, that is a passage that you go through. And there are specific core competencies within that passage that you need to understand to be successful at that next level. Mm-hmm. So all this research goes down back to what are the different passages. In like manner, we've done about 18 months of research with people from, you know, it's been everybody from, you know, the guy who used to be the over HR at Walmart, who is an executive pastor now, to, you know, Brad, who's on the podcast all the time. So leadership gurus like Mac Lake and Will Mancini and, you know, many, many others. And come up with, here is consensus on the competencies that you need at each level of leadership in the church. So whether you're a volunteer, whether you're a leader directing a ministry, or a senior leader, we've developed a pipeline for you. But the overall idea of pipeline itself is, you know, the idea of having a framework to select, assess, review, promote your people in your organization so that everybody knows where we're going as an organization, where they fit in, and what their next step is.
That's good. Everything you said, I agree with everything you said. I want to try to simplify it a bit. Everything you said is true. And the reason I want to simplify it is because I fear that leadership pipeline for some people sounds like this hugely daunting task, or like, oh my goodness, it sounds like there's no way we could ever do that.
It's trying to build this thing into your entire organization, this yeah. huge monumental task.
And even when we set up the podcast, you're like, we're going D, this is doctoral right. level. And this is, at the same time, when you really step back after everything you read on Leadership Pipeline, it's actually not that complicated. It's complex, but not complicated. Let me explain the difference. It's not complicated because, I mean, you can have a picture of a leadership pipeline on one sheet of paper for your whole ministry or your whole organization. It's complex in that you're dealing with people. You know, we're dealing with people, and no two people are the same. Mm-hmm. And God's made every single one of us unique, and has gifted each person. And so it's never going to, even when you have a beautiful pipeline on paper, it won't always go exactly how you have it mapped out. And so someone said, then why do you have it mapped out? Because if you don't have it mapped out, you don't develop leaders
at all.
You don't develop right. leaders at all. Yep. So, but here's the definition. Here's what I'd say of a leadership pipeline. It really is a simple tool that shows how an organization develops its own leaders. So it's a tool, a construct that shows everyone who wants to know, here's mm-hmm. how we develop our people. And how do you develop the people? Everything Todd says is true. You show them, here's the competencies you're going to need at different stages in the organization, at different stages in the ministry. And when you move from one stage to the next, that's a passage, you'll need the competencies that not only that you had at the last stage, but you'll need these new competencies.
So you always keep your previous competencies and add to them yep. what is required for the next role.
And then when you realize those, you realize you have to operate differently in the new role. So to make it explicit for a church leader. So you know this intuitively. The person who you recruited to be a greeter at your church, right? There's some competencies there. You may not have listed those for the person. You may not have said, here's what they are, but you intuitively know, hey, we need someone who likes people,
right?
We need someone who's hospitable, who's who's friendly.
And probably can answer some very basic questions about where to go.
Have a conversation. Yeah. And so sometimes we just throw anybody in those spots, which is wrong. And so a wise church leader is going to think even intuitively about some of the competencies that person needs. Okay, well, when that ministry grows and you think, hey, we just don't need greeters. We actually need someone to organize the greeters at the 9:30 service. And so you may call that person a coach or a team leader, whatever mm-hmm. nomenclature you use in your context. Well, when you move someone who's been a greeter to now being the team leader of all the greeters, that's a passage. That's a change in their role, mm-hmm. and it's going to actually require some different competencies. And so not only are they going to need to have a heart for that ministry and friendly and welcoming and loving to the people, but they're going to need to now organize, right? They're going to need to be able to recruit other people to the team, to replace people when they're out of town. They're going to need to be more proactive in thinking through
schedule. There's a management and yep. oversight ability there that wasn't there when all they had to do was show up yep. at their service and be a really excellent greeter.
So that is the one place where most people wash out, whether you're talking about in the business side, you're talking mm-hmm. about on church staff, or you're talking about volunteers.
Yeah.
When you move someone from being an individual yep. contributor to managing people or leading yeah. people.
You quoted Ram Charan early and he said, this is why Leadership Pipeline is important. And this is the reality, is that most people are only being prepared for their current role and not for the role that they will be in the future. Mm-hmm. And that's why many leaders fall away or are unable to execute well in their next role because they were only prepared for their current role. So a leadership pipeline helps you. It just helps. It's a simple view of here's how we develop leaders throughout mm-hmm. our organization, throughout our ministry. Here's competencies that are needed. And as we move people through, these are passageways that mark transition moments for them. And so it's not, it's super complex because people are different. Yep. And it's...
Well, and because it varies from organization to organization. Yep.
And it's complex because I evidently if it wasn't complex, everybody would be implemented and very few people have the discipline
right.
to live in this. But it really is a simple view of yep. leadership development for your ministry.
And we'll talk a little bit more, you know, throughout the week on how do you move this from an aspirational to an actual thing yep. that happens in right. your church.
What is it? What can the structure look like? Absolutely. What do those steps look like? Things like that.
Because yeah. that's where it all breaks down. It's great to have a piece of paper, but that, you know, you're saying, hey, and these are our competencies, but then how do those play out? And how do you make sure somebody just yep. doesn't take the training and check a yeah. box?
Which I do want to mention the tools that Barnabas mentioned earlier. That's why I'm really grateful for what you've written, what you and Barnabas have put together. We do have some tools that can help so if you're a church leader, you don't have to start from a blank sheet of paper on this.
No.
In fact, sometimes a blank sheet of paper is debilitating. Like yeah. Where do I go? You don't have to start with a blank sheet here. We can help.
Well, when we did research 2 years ago, before even launching Ministry Grid, we found that only one in four churches actually have a plan in place to develop their leaders. And there were four problems in place. One was they didn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. These are the four biggest problems yeah. in order. Didn't know where to start. They didn't have a framework.
Right.
They thought it was too expensive. And
time was the other one.
Yeah. Time was the other one. And, yeah, and we focused in on the time piece to say, hey, we can take training anywhere through a tool like Ministry Grid. And we focused on the other ones as well to say, hey, we want to give everybody a pathway of training, no matter what area of ministry you're in and no matter what leadership level you're in that ministry.
Yeah. And so a ministry can use that pathway that's your team yeah, is put together and provided, which is helpful. I think that when you look at that research, that was one of the most frightening things to me from it was pastors said, hey, I need to be developing our people, mm-hmm. but only one in four have a plan to develop their people, which is really a struggle for me from an ecclesiology standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, I really struggle. I love these brothers who are honest with the answer. I don't want to come with shame and condemnation with a statement, but Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 really paints the picture of the role of a pastor is to equip.
Yeah.
The role is to equip. So the only time that the word is pastor is used in the New Testament to describe a human office, the word in the original language is shepherd. And so it's used throughout the scripture to describe Jesus as our great shepherd. He's the ultimate shepherd. The only time that word's used to describe us, a person, is in Ephesians 4, and it's used to describe pastor. So it's the one time it's used, and the one action associated with the one time it's used is equipping.
And training people for the work of the ministry.
So only time it's used, one job. So it's kind of, you know, that Tumblr, that meme, you know, you had one job and it's always funny pictures. You had one job.
One job.
Can you not do the one job you had? Well, I mean, like straight up, that verse is, hey, pastor, you have one job. You have one job, according to Ephesians 4:11-13, and it is to equip the people for works of ministry. And what happens when you do? Verse 13, the body reaches maturity measured by the stature of Christ.
Yep. The fullness of Christ. And I think what's important, you've brought that up before, and you've brought that out before, in just saying this is one of the few places in scripture where you do have that piece where it's like, if you do this,
yeah,
this will be the result. Very few times.
Oh my goodness. I mean, so here's what we know from a research standpoint, that there is a relationship between a church that has an intentional plan and the health of that church. We know that. We've seen that in lots of different studies. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4, actually, he takes it to another level. I mean, he's not saying, hey guys, there is a relationship between the health of a church and the church having a view of pastors equipping. Research would say you can't assert causation. You can't say this equals this. You can say there's a relationship. Paul says, no, this equals this. If you will equip people, healthy church.
Well, and that's been that has been proven out in all non-church organizations in the 2000 years since that was written. I mean, we know this is true in businesses and organizations.
Yeah.
Healthier organizations are those that are equipping people to advance, to take over when somebody else leaves, to move through the pipeline. So they're just proving out what Paul already wrote in a church context.
Right? And by the way, we're answering our second question right now, which is why are leadership pipelines so important? Why is it so important to have one? And it is a conviction piece that we're sharing right now, but it's also what Barnabas just shared as well. It's common knowledge. It's common research has shown when you look at businesses and what they're doing to ensure that they have a dynasty of development, it takes a leadership pipeline.
Well, I wrote down a couple of thoughts here, but I'm really glad that you're tying the construct, the pipeline to the conviction, Todd, because if you're a leader who's got a conviction to develop people, you can keep preaching that you can just preach your guts out on that. But if you don't give a tool, people will have a difficult time executing all of this great vision that they're hearing from you to develop leaders. And so why is it important to have one? Well, because it actually helps put action, helps implementation for this great imperative we have to develop people. So, but a couple of notes I jotted down on why it's so important. A pipeline does give people in the organization, in the ministry, a view of, okay, that's how development happens here. That's number one. Number two, it marks transitions. So when I go from the greeter to the coach of other greeters, there's a transition, and people need to realize that that greeter is going to have to act differently now than how she acted before, than how he acted before.
And if you have it structured, they know that in advance. They can say, I don't think I can do that. That's not what God has gifted me to do. Or they can say, I'm excited to take on that new responsibility.
It's good. It also defines necessary competencies. So it helps you think through, okay, what are we saying people need to have? And then that of course, number four, impacts the training. So if we're saying here's competencies, here are the three things that the coach of the greeters needs to have, well, then now you can train for those three things that the coach of the greeters needs to have.
Right.
So I have down just a few quick points as well.
I'd just like to make a quick point that Todd came prepared for this.
After
harassing Eric mercilessly on previous podcasts.
I'm just tired of being, I mean, he's the one with the doctorate,
he doesn't
and he's
just,
the one that brings notes.
He doesn't just have notes. He has them in a three-ring binder.
He has them in a binder. He does.
I have them in a binder because I'm slightly passionate. If people haven't noticed, I'm slightly passionate about pipeline.
But here's the difference between Todd and me. And I hope you don't take this the wrong way, Todd, but I'm going to roast you right now. So his notes are in addition to his free streaming range of consciousness, right? So it's like he does that first and then goes to the notes. So I'm just gonna wax and just say a bunch of stuff. Oh, now let me pull out my notebook.
Let me see what I missed.
Well, you brought in your points. So, and you talked before you brought in your points. So I'm gonna bring my point. And they'll probably overlap. I mean, Eric and I have known each other for a long time, and we've served together on church staff before. So we're somewhat similar in mindset in this manner. So there'll be a little bit overlap, but the five advantages of clarifying your pipeline, establishing and clarifying your pipeline are, it helps everyone identify their next steps. Mm-hmm. You know, where's my next step? Mm-hmm. Where do I fit in? Making that easy, obvious, and strategic for everybody, because it helps you, number two, clarify your system for development. It creates a pathway for growth and development. It enables us to diagnose as leaders, where is our pipeline clogged? That's a massive issue in a lot of places, because you may have leaders up and down your organization, but if you're missing a gap, and often there is a gap, if you may be missing a big gap where you don't have somebody ready for succession. And fifth is it aligns language and positions across the organization.
I agree with that. That's great.
So we'll get into that more as we talk about systems in particular, aligning.
You have one view of how we do development as opposed to just a completely scattered view throughout the whole.
And I think specifically in the church world, this comes up a lot when we talk about this in-house as our team and then sharing with churches, is the difference between a menu and a map.
Yes.
Todd loves this analogy, because most churches provide a menu of ways that people can serve and available options. And organizations do the same thing too. It's just job listings, things like that. But a menu doesn't tell you where to start, where to go next, what the expectation is, any of the things that you guys just said. Whereas a map provides if this is your starting point, so you're hired into this position, you're serving at this level, you go from here to here to here to here, you take these steps and these roads. And that's the pipeline is a map of advancement and succession and development, as opposed to just a menu of available options for work and service.
And it's important when you're considering development that is not just a smorgasbord of training, that you do have a map for people, especially in church. We're seeing the proliferation of lots of different training sites, lots of different Christian entertainment sites that are providing a ton of options for people to, you know, have a library
for consumption, basically.
And it's basically built for consumption or choose your own adventure. But what happens with that is you ultimately end up with, you know, what we refer to before as Book of Judges, where everybody does what's right in their own minds, and you don't have a specific destination.
They're responsible for their own development, which means they do what feels good at any given time instead of following
a
prescribed path that's best for the organization and them. Well, let's hit our next question. And this one, I'm interested to see where this goes. And it's just simply, what are some good examples that you've seen of effective pipelines? And that could be within a specific part of a large organization. It could be at the church level, business world, just examples that you've seen, just to try to put some flesh on this very conceptual conversation we've had.
It's harder to describe when you don't have a piece of paper in front of you, because a pipeline, when you look at it, it's just more clear. So let me just try to articulate one. Although Todd's got some great examples, we have a great leadership pipeline, and I'm not sure if you're going to have that, Todd, on the blog or in other places, or some sample pipelines that people have.
Yeah, we'll definitely have sample pipelines, some templates that'll go out.
So here's I'll try to give a real simple one. All right. So this would be a 4-step pipeline. Mm-hmm. And so some of the samples I've seen Todd have, some have 5 steps, some have 4 steps. Here would be a simple 4-step one. Let this be for small group leader development. Okay. So 4 steps in the pipeline. Lead self, step one. Lead others, step two. Lead leaders, step three. Lead departments, step four. Okay. So I move from leading self to leading others to leading leaders to leading departments.
Quick question. Just concept on that. Not everybody is expected to make it to step four, correct?
Totally. In fact, that's one of the things that that I'm pretty passionate about when we talk about Leadership Pipeline is not unintentionally saying to people that success is moving through the pipeline, because success is really just being who the Lord's called you and equipped you to be. My father, this is why it's kind of personal for me, engineer, godly man. I mean, I was so blessed to grow up in a godly home, and he loved his craft and actually viewed engineering as, I do this for the glory of God. I mean, he didn't have this distinction in his mind.
A sacred, like, secular, yeah, kind of,
like,
thing.
I go to work and just do a bunch of secular stuff, and then I make some money and I give to the sacred organization of the church. He actually viewed, this is sacred. I mean, God gave me this gift to do engineering, but he did not want to lead other engineers. He wanted to be an engineer. Right. He's like, that's what I went to school for. I love it. I love what I do. And sometimes during his annual review, he would get dinged as like, hey, you're not showing enough initiative. Why aren't you trying to move up, or why don't you want to be a manager? And he didn't want to be. He wanted to be an engineer, not a manager of engineers, or then a leader of a company of engineers, right? So we got to be careful we don't unintentionally say, hey, you're not being successful if you're not progressing. Success, especially for the people of God, is being who the Lord has called you to be. So lead self, lead others, lead leaders, lead departments. And so for lead self, that would be in a small group. Be in a group, mm-hmm. so that you are caring for your own soul in a group. You're allowing people to shepherd you and nurture you and encourage you. Lead others. Hey, be a group leader. Lead leaders. Be a coach over other group leaders, or a team leader over other group leaders. And then lead departments. Well, when that church starts a new campus, that's going to be the most natural person to ask. Hey, you should be the small group point person for this whole campus, mm-hmm. or for this church plant that we're sending out. So lead self, be in a group, lead others, lead a group, lead leaders, coach other group leaders, lead departments, lead a whole network of small groups. That's just a basic example of a pipeline.
And you can see how that would apply also to a more corporate context, where you go from, and Todd has, we'll probably talk through some of this as well, but, and we'll definitely cover it in the next few days, but you go from an individual contributor, just you're hired to do your work, to moving to team, yeah. leader, manager, director, kind of those, yeah. those kind of things as well. And Eric broke his microphone.
Still, check, mic check. Still working.
All right, good.
I would say, you know, just using that small group analogy, as, you know, in my experience in church life, as we developed more and more campuses, what we ended up doing with small groups in particular is you actually had layers of leadership and a pipeline that was pretty sophisticated. And honestly, that's where I initially got into the pipeline concept, because it was out of necessity.
Yeah.
It was out of, hey, what we're doing is not scalable. We have got to, if we're going to grow, if we have a vision to grow, then we have to grow our leaders.
That's a good point. Without a pipeline, you're going to have a hard time scaling leadership development on a massive level.
You're going to have it, two things. And you're going to have problems scaling it and maintaining your culture. One, because if you are able to scale it and you're not developing leaders, that means you're paying for it. You're staffing, you're spending a lot of money to import leadership that you didn't develop. You're practicing, yeah. is leadership placement, not leadership development. Yeah,
it's that old phrase, you can build leaders or you can buy them.
Yeah.
And there's times where you want to bring in people from the outside, you want to buy them. And then healthy, if anybody ought to be able to raise up her own leaders, it's us. It's, well, the body.
It's the church. Because if you look at discipleship, yep. you know, in, you can't just, a part of being a disciple is discipling, is developing others. We're not just called to be doers. We're called to be developers. Mm. We have to be doing that.
He's preaching, bro.
That's right.
On occasion.
Well, you guys are touching on something that moves us to our next question very well. And you're talking about some of the challenges of doing this well. Earlier, Eric, you also mentioned just that gap between the aspiration of most church leaders to say, we know we ought to be developing leaders, and the reality that they're not. So the question is just, why don't more churches and organizations have leadership pipelines?
Because it's hard.
I think it sounds, execution of it's hard. I think even the whole process sounds overwhelming. I think staring at a blank sheet and wondering how do we start sounds overwhelming.
Let me combine our fifth question then, because we can probably answer these two at the same time. So this is fourth and fifth question. So the first question was, why don't more organizations have leadership pipelines? The last question is, where should they start if they want to build a leadership pipeline? Because you said it's daunting to start with a blank page. So
Here's how you start.
Where do they start?
Here's how you start. Identify the layers of leadership you currently have in your church. So what do you mean layers? So who all is a leader in your church? How many layers of leadership are there? So is there, there's the Sunday school teachers, and then there's the staff who oversee the Sunday school teachers. Well, is there a layer in between? Do you have Sunday school directors or Sunday school coaches or team leaders? So how many layers do you have in your leadership in your church? What are the, that's number one, what are the competencies for each level? I would do that. Like, okay, hey, let's look at the layers of leadership we have. Let's not try to invent those layers. Like, what do we currently have? Now, oftentimes you need to add a layer. You're like, oh man, the Minister of Education oversees 40 people himself, herself. There's not a layer of leadership in there. So, but at first identify what are the layers that we have, and then what are the competencies needed for each layer?
And that also effectively points out what Todd mentioned earlier, the holes in the present leadership development process. Because most organizations have some sort of an advancement process. It might be intuitive, it might not be very well structured. But when you lay it all out, you will see where these just gaping holes are to say, wow, we don't have anybody under that person. We have 50 people under this person. Nobody's prepared to step up and fill this role, and so on. So just mapping it out, laying it out is, you'll see visually where you need to work on, I think.
Yeah, because what you're really doing is aligning your structure, aligning your systems, aligning your language with your conviction and culture. I mean, it is laying out clearly, this is where we're going as a church, this is what we want to do, and this is how we're going to accomplish it. When you look at an organization, more and more, even on the business side, it's less about, the financial. It's more about we're knowledge-based companies. And in many cases, we're competency-based. Your organization is only as strong as its people. And that is certainly true of the church more than any other body or organization on the planet. A church is not a community with a gifted pastor or gifted leaders. It's a community of gifted people. And a church is only as strong as its average attendee. So looking at that leadership pipeline and saying, okay, tip to tail, going all the way down to a person when a person is a new believer and bringing in them into first volunteering in a ministry to leading and so on and so forth, it's really vital to look at that. It's really vital to look at that. I would also say when looking at where to start and why it's so hard, it's because Sunday is always coming. Mm-hmm. And so even when somebody goes to a conference or they have a consultant come in and spend, six weeks or 6 months or whatever with them, and they invest so much into this, they get everybody on the same page. They finally do get that common language. They finally do get some of this stuff in order, unless they actually have tracks to run on, unless they have that framework in place, they often spin their wheels. So I think one of the things that I'm most proud of and what I've done in the 3 years I've been at Lifeway is we brought together a group of really sharp, really gifted people from, from churches and Christian organizations, and just said, hey, what are the competencies that people need? Yeah, what are the levels that we
tracks.
Need? We built the tracks. Mm-hmm. And, it was, we started out with 286 competencies that these people submitted. And we worked and we wrestled and we got those down to six categories, and we got them down to specific levels, and we got each individual competency down to specific learning objectives. And when we say competency, we're saying when someone completes this, we want to see a displayed proficiency in something. It is a mastery mindset. If you look at the educational system and, you know, hey, or even training, in most cases, it is, hey, you take these courses, you pass these tests, and congratulations, you're a engineer or you're a whatever. Well, that does not imply mastery. It implies I have knowledge. So it's really a combination of knowledge, experience, and coaching that is really going to bring mastery to someone. And so as we walk through this week, it's really great for us to talk about this from a theoretical level. And this is what happens most of the time at a conference or most of the time when you bring in someone to talk to you about this. But what we're going to be doing is unpacking that and saying, okay, let's look at your systems. Let's look at your structure. Let's look at the people involved. Let's look at the content that you're bringing people through, and let's build all those together, knit all those together in a solid framework of constructs that is designed to move people and progress them through the pipeline.
And if listeners, if you can't tell, this is something that both Eric and Todd are well-versed in on the one hand, but exceptionally passionate about for churches, for organizations, but ultimately for serving the kingdom and for putting people in a position to use the gifts that God has given them to their utmost. And so that's why we're doing this sort of emphasis on pipeline. And this is not something we want to just last for a week. This is something that we as the leadership development team at Lifeway are using as the foundation for what we do. So we're not just trying to sell resources. We're not just trying to give some handy dandy tools to help people get better at some stuff, but really help churches build this in. And so that's why, again, I want to point you to lifeway.com/churchleaders, where you'll find blog posts on leadership pipeline. You'll find that that document that Todd wrote up, developing your leadership pipeline, later this fall. And I realize that's a long way off, but file it away. Eric and Kevin Peck are releasing a book called Designed to Lead. And again, that is a more substantial resource to help with this. We're going to be doing webinars on helping with this. We have a number of things that we will be rolling out over the course of this year. And you'll be able to find out about all of them, lifeway.com/churchleaders, because we want to help you develop your leadership pipeline for your whatever kind of organization you're in, but really aimed at the church. So again, leadership pipeline stuff, lifeway.com/churchleaders. Also check out ministrygrid.com/howitworks. You've heard the bumper over and over again if you're a regular listener, but you can get a free 30-day trial for a tool that can help your church begin implementing some of this. Tune in for the rest of the week to get much more specific information on how to shape this, how to structure it, where people fit in it, the language of it, the content of it, because we've touched on the high-level stuff. Now we're going to start to dig in. So thanks so much for listening, and tune in tomorrow for the next step in the Leadership Pipeline Week.
Thanks for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we want to invite you one more time to join us in Nashville this October 11th through 13th for the Pipeline Conference. It's important to also note this conference did sell out last year. So if you're planning on attending, go ahead and get in early.